Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a community of entrepreneurs, freelancers, and remote workers who believe that life is better when you work together. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Find your tribe.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, disaster proclamations have been declared by the governor for about half of Iowa's counties in response to flooding, flash flooding, that began about a week ago. This half hour, several perspectives on the flooding, including from several people in the worst affected areas. First, though, a statewide perspective from Joyce Flynn. She is director at the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Joyce, welcome.
Thank you.
Give us an overview of the extent of flooding across the state and the areas worst affected.
Well, of course, as everyone has seen on the news, the Missouri River Basin from the Council Bluffs area south, where multiple levees failed, is the most catastrophic flooding area we're focused on right now. We are keeping an eye statewide because there's some rain projected. We're, of course, watching the Missouri because of those levees, but we're also looking statewide for potential interior river flooding, as well as flooding impacts along the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm. Started about a week ago, the flash flooding, the flooding. Where are we in this flooding process? Are we in the middle of it or the end of it? Can we tell?
At this point, it's hard to tell. I would say we're at the beginning. We are still very actively engaged with response and providing resources to those local emergency managers who are working with the counties where they're working. And we are also looking at developing a letter to request federal assistance and working on that very diligently as well. So that then starts us into the recovery phase. So we're kind of starting in response, finishing up response, but preparing for more response and looking toward recovery.
How do you judge the chances of getting federal assistance?
I would say, based on my history in the job and the devastation I'm seeing, I think the support to get federal assistance for repairs of roads, bridges, critical infrastructure is pretty likely because we need to reach about $4.5 million in damages.
What is the worst damage that you're getting reports about?
The worst damage is, of course, those small towns where, because those levees were impacted, that then impacts their flood protection for the future. And we're going to have to keep a very close eye on that, see what we can do in conjunction with the Corps of Engineers and urge them to make some temporary repairs as quickly as possible because that leaves those communities totally vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Do we know yet how this flooding compares with previous recent flooding of 93 or 2008?
I would say this along the Missouri River, which the last big flood there was 2011, as I'm sure you remember.
Yes.
The difference here was the rain and the snowmelt came on the unrestricted part of the river below the dam system. And there were times, Gavin's Point was releasing approximately 100,000 CFS at its highest, cubic foot per second. But we were getting reports of the unrestricted flow coming out of the Platte River at 200,000 cubic foot per second. So you're getting that from the core, you're getting that from that unrestricted flow from interior rivers, and it just kind of was that, unfortunately, perfect storm of flooding for that southwest Iowa area and along our partners in Nebraska.
Finally, before we go, a lot of listeners, thankfully unaffected by the flooding or little affected in Iowa. Can listeners help in any way? What can other Iowans do?
Well, we want to first encourage everyone to make sure they're taking preparedness actions because we never know where flooding is going to occur. But I also know as these communities move into recovery, many of them have established funds where they can receive donations to help those impacted citizens. So I would encourage them to either check on one of those community sites where they can make a donation or provide a donation to their favorite nonprofit, and those folks are out there working with the impacted citizens as well.
Thank you very much, Joyce Flynn, director at Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Kiefer, and this half hour we're exploring the impact of the recent flooding in western Iowa, the ongoing flooding, as we just heard from Joyce Flynn there. Perspectives on flooding continue in this half hour. Let's talk with Sean Kelly Sean is mayor of Missouri Valley. That's in Harrison County in western Iowa, a town of a couple thousand people just north of Omaha on the Iowa side of the Missouri River. Sean Kelly, Mayor Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Describe the flooding in your town. Is it receding?
It is receding. Most of the water in our flood-affected area has gone back down. We still obviously have some lower-lying areas there where the water is pooling up and hasn't fully receded yet, but for the majority, it is receding.
Describe how it's been affecting the structures. At its high point, what was it like in the structures in your town?
Well, south of the track, there was approximately 4 to 6 feet of water south of Highway 30, which is south of the track area. That was the worst affected area of the community.
Mm-hmm. So we have flooded basements. Do we have water in the first floors of homes and businesses?
Definitely. We're looking, 4 to 6 feet of water. Most properties down there that had a basement, obviously the basement's full. We're talking 4 to 6 feet of water on the main floor of the house.
Mm-hmm. What are people doing now to recover in Missouri Valley?
Right now, we're in the assessing stage, trying to determine how many structures are going to not be inhabitable in the future, or how many can be rebuilt or repaired. We're just now trying to figure out and get back in there to determine how many people aren't going to have anything to go back to at all.
Mm. Are emergency services available there?
We do. We have a Rand Community Center on South 4th Street. We have the Red Cross has set up an emergency shelter there for people who don't have a place to go or stay. We've had multiple volunteers throughout the community and around the county and in other areas that have come in and donated clothes and food, bottled water and so forth, mm-hmm. To help the people that have been affected.
Mayor Kelly, it sounds like this is a real question surrounding the future of your town of Missouri Valley. How do you evaluate that question right now? Are you saying that the town will not exist as it did before, or worse than that?
Well, the town has been around for a very long time, and we've seen flooding in the past. Iowans in general have a tendency to overcome obstacles like this and rebuild and come back bigger and better and stronger than they were before the incident happens. Unfortunately, there's several of those houses that were affected by the floodwaters that may not be able to be rebuilt at all or may have to be moved to a different area. It's hard telling at this time how far it's going to go, but Missouri Valley itself, we are a strong community and we'll pull through this.
Okay, Mayor Kelly, Mayor Sean Kelly of Missouri Valley in western Iowa in Harrison County. Our thoughts are with you as you pull through this devastation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Sherry Bowen, agency administrator at Mills County Public Health, also public information officer for Mills County. Mills County, home to about 15,000 Iowans, bordering on the Missouri River in the southwest part of the state. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for helping us get information out on this important issue.
Right. And you are responsible, I understand, for communicating with the public during this flood, coordinating volunteers, for instance. What is the picture in Mills County, if you can give us a snapshot?
Well, the western quarter of our county has experienced flooding, and we have evacuated 430 households and businesses, and that includes the small community of Pacific Junction. We have had levee loss south of Highway 34 in multiple spots along the river, and we have water that is not yet going to be going away due to river levels. So we have been working with our families affected and trying to set up our structure to provide support. We've got a flood hotline. We have a volunteer hotline where we're trying to. We have an access center set up with Red Cross and Salvation Army and resources there, and we're trying to just get our feet under us, I think, as to how to support this section of our population.
Mm-hmm. Give us a sense, maybe in descriptions, maybe a family that you've met or seen the condition of the conditions that these families are. I mean, they had to leave their home. They had to leave almost all their possessions, I assume.
Well, we have varying levels of that. We issued mandatory evacuations beginning on Friday evening and then subsequently throughout the weekend. So in some cases, people had some time to pack and get out what they needed. In other instances, such as the community of Pacific Junction, their mayor delayed that evacuation until a point he felt comfortable with. And in that case, some families really had a very small amount of time. We had some flash flood areas where people had 15 minutes to evacuate. I have a family, a mom with six children, and a 140-pound dog, and she has a few clothes, and that's it. Right now, hoteling it, and we're trying to find some support services so that she can stay in this community where she works and where her children attend school. I have another family who is from that Pacific Junction area whose rented house is underwater. They're a Surha family and are searching for other places to live in an area with significant housing shortages on a normal day.
Mm. Do you also concern yourself? I'm sure you do. This is a tremendous emotional toll on the communities there, isn't it, in Mills County?
It is. I told someone today, if I've only cried publicly two times today, it's been a pretty good day. We're all a little shell-shocked here. We have a significant section of our population that's hurting. We have the rest of our community that is just brokenhearted for them, mm-hmm. and we want to help. So emotionally, we are struggling. We have been able to pull some resources in from the state of Iowa. They're in town today and are going to be leaving a resource with us. We have several agencies that provide counseling that have stepped up to say their services are available at no cost, and we're trying to link people with those services. But we are a bit of the walking wounded this mm-hmm. week.
Sherry Bowen, before we say goodbye, you know, when we report on disasters, as we have so, whether it's flood or other disasters, tornadoes and so forth over the years are on Iowa Public Radio in the Midwest, in Iowa, we always see communities pulled together. I have to believe that's true of Mills County.
We have wonderful support from our immediate community, from Southwest Iowa, from surrounding states, and nationally. We've had outreach from a wide area. We have set up a Mills County Flood Fund, and they can check out our web pages for that link. We are collecting dollars that are going to be distributed through our county entity and will go directly to families in need. We are also enjoying a large inundation of stuff and things, and we're very grateful for stuff and things. We would also love folks to consider a Visa gift card because we need dollars as well that we can easily hand out to those flood families to purchase the things they're missing.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about that? Right, yeah.
If folks want to reach out to us for donations, please call my number, 712-527-0137, and I will connect you with whichever committee we're working with whatever it is you're interested in providing. We do not want to say no to anyone who wants to give us an outpouring of love in whatever format that comes. But in all honesty, we are struggling with stuff and things.
Sherry Bowen, thank you so much for giving us a picture from Mills County in western Iowa. Mills County, home to about 15,000 Iowans bordering the Missouri River, really at the center of this catastrophe, this flooding devastation in the southwest part of the state. Sherry Bowen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's finally talk this hour with Melissa Anderson. Melissa is a resident of Hornick, also impacted by the floods. Now, Hornick is a town of a couple hundred residents, a little farther north along the Missouri, about 30 minutes southeast of Sioux City. Melissa Anderson, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Well, doing well, and you are faring worse, I understand. You and your husband, Matt, so you have kids. You've all had to leave your home.
Correct. We were mandatory evacuated Thursday morning.
Describe the flooding that forced you and your family out.
Terrible, awful, catastrophic. There's devastating. Devastation is probably the best. It came in, and my husband, emergency crews, they worked tirelessly on Thursday, trying to do everything they possibly could. so that our town would not be flooded as badly as it was. And unfortunately, that didn't work. So we got quite a bit of water.
I don't know if you've been able to get back to your home. What does it look like?
We have been able. They let residents come back Sunday to start assessing damage. And at that point on Sunday, our streets, probably about half of them in our little town, were still covered in water up above my ankles. At that point, they had already pumped out so much water. Just looking at the pictures, I can't imagine actually having been here when the water was that high. And my husband has been here tirelessly throughout this whole thing, trying to make sure that we all can come home.
Mm-hmm. So we have homes in Hornick, even if the water's receding, homes full of muck.
Yes, our septic system was compromised. So unfortunately, we had raw sewage floating throughout our streets into homes and basements. We have people who have lost everything in town.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you and the other residents of Hornick. What are your thoughts? I mean, it's hard. I mean, sure, a lot of your town folk there are still in shock, and that's quite understandable. What are your thoughts about your personal recovery, the recovery of your community of Hornick?
Our community is small, but we're strong, and we'll get through this one day at a time. We have a long road, but we're going to get through this. Small town Iowa, we are the poster children for that. We are strong, and I don't know if there's any other way to say that than we're strong, and we're going to get through this. It's very devastating, especially since we have people in town who've been here for 40, 50 years who have lost everything.
Mm-hmm. How are your kids doing? You have two kids?
I have two kids. We have a 17-year-old and a 6-year-old. Our 17-year-old is doing okay. He is an amazing person and really handles tragic situations well. Our 6-year-old, on the other hand, is a little bit different story. She doesn't quite understand everything that's going on right now. And during this time, our family was completely separated. So as a mom, I've just been trying to do everything I possibly can to make life as normal as possible, especially for the 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm. What's in store for you in the coming days, do you think?
There's still a lot of cleanup to be done. Our shop was a complete loss, so the first part of this week was spent tearing out carpets and floors and
this is a this is a shop that you depend on for your livelihood.
No, it isn't a place of business. It's just kind of the go away. Excuse me. All of our tools are stored there and whatnot. Mm-hmm. My husband shares his shop with his best friend, and I mean, we lost a welder, 2 4-wheelers, things like that. So we are fortunate enough to have a home to go back to with minimal damage, but on the flip side, we still have lost a lot between the shop. I mean, our refrigerator we have to replace, and the crawl space, we are lucky enough to not have a basement.
I guess, Melissa, I'm asking too, do you and your family have the financial resources to weather this?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I mean, everything can be replaced, and there will be some things that most definitely have to weigh, prioritize. Like, you know, obviously, refrigerator comes first. But
do you have insurance? Do you have insurance to cover any of this?
The insurance that we have on the home covers nothing, and unfortunately, we don't have flood insurance at the shop. So it's just. Yeah, it's going to be a long road, and it's Yeah, it's going to be a long road.
Right. We have about a minute left. Melissa Anderson, just as we try to grasp what you're having to grasp there, take us back to the moment when you knew this was really serious, perhaps right before the evacuation. What is a memory, what is an image that you will unfortunately always have with you?
An overwhelming feel of panic. Scared that I might not have anything to come home to, that we might lose everything. My husband called and said it's time to go. It's a feeling that I unfortunately will never forget. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible, and I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Melissa Anderson, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your pain.
Yeah, no problem.
So that we can understand a little bit about what you're going through and so many other residents there in Western Iowa. Melissa Anderson, along with her husband, Matt Anderson, struggling with the impact of these floods in Western Iowa. She's a resident of Hornick, a town of a couple hundred residents, about a 30-minute drive southeast of Sioux City. Wow. Okay. We'll be following up on this story in the days to come, no doubt. River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Emily Woodbury. Also help today from Camus Leeson. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Tonight, it's a Pints and Politics event in Cedar Rapids at Theater Cedar Rapids. I'll be there along with several members of the Gazette staff for another edition of our Pints and Politics. You'll hear an edited version of that tomorrow on the program. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. You can contact us anytime. Drop us a line. Our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. ¶¶